Welcome back to the Balancing Act podcast. I'm Andy Tempty. On the Balancing Act, we talk to business leaders and industry experts to explore the balancing acts we play in our professional lives and learn about the events that put rocket boosters behind their career success. Today, we have Coach Mike Basovic joining us. Mike is the founder of No Limits Nation, a professional coaching business that's focused on helping everyone from students to senior executives achieve success by reducing anxiety, stress, limiting beliefs, and burnout. As you might expect, today we're going to focus on the value of coaching in the workplace. Welcome to the show, Coach Mike.
Thanks, Andy. Great to be here.
Well, I really appreciate you jumping on. Before we get started with the main conversation, I ask this question of all my guests. Please tell our listeners your story.
Yeah, my story was I became a coach out of necessity. So years ago, I was a young entrepreneur, young family, and filled with anxiety and stress and overwhelm and started to get burnt out. I was exhausted all the time. I was in pretty good shape. Very active, but always tired. And I had a lot of fear, all the stuff that was around my entire life. It was my normal. And everything imploded. My marriage failed. My business went under. I was in debt. And I thought, how could somebody who's willing to work so hard, so committed to success, happiness, growth, and I was a self-help junkie, by the way. And my life was a mess. And I hit financial rock bottom. I hit relationship rock bottom. And I thought, why is this? And so I went on a quest to study the mind, to study human behavior, to find the answers. And as I said, I was a self-help junkie. So if there was a book out there, I read it. I read over 250 books on the mind and human behavior. If there was a course, I took it or I bought it and I did it at home. And I was always just studying the mind. But then I realized that most of what was out there in the way of self-help, my positive thinking or affirmations or meditation, all nice tools, but they're all distractions. They're all band-aids to try to make you feel better so you can get to the next day and do the same thing and then try to survive that day to feel better. And I thought there's got to be a better way. And I also not only wanted to feel good, I wanted to have that success in my life. And when I really tapped in to what the mind was and how the mind works and then what your emotions are and your thoughts are and how the state of being that you move around in every day plays to your success, I tapped into that, those truths, and everything in my life started to turn around. My relationships got better. My business got better. My outlook, my optimism, all that stuff that was suffering got better. And then I was relaxed. I was present. I was happy. I was focused. And from that standpoint, everything in my life just continued to improve. And I thought one day, listen, you got to teach this stuff to other people. And I thought, this is some powerful stuff. This is the magic formula, if you will. So I started to work with high-performance individuals, athletes, celebrities, or salespeople, or people that were really trying to accomplish goals. As a mental performance coach, I was taking them to new levels, but I realized that all those people, no matter how much success they had in their life, they were dealing with what I was dealing with, the anxiety, the inadequacy, the imposter syndrome, the burnout, the overwhelm, the stress. And I thought, they're who I was. They're just experiencing success, and I wasn't. So that's when the anxiety-free executive and then the anxiety-free student was born, because I realized that most people, the human experience teaches people to suffer, teaches people to stress, be overwhelmed, to be insecure, inadequate. And I thought, most people I'm coming across are dealing with things that I dealt with emotionally. And so then I began this work about 13, 14 years ago with these programs. And that's how I got to For No Limits. And that's how the anxiety-free executive and anxiety-free student were born.
So was that the key accelerant of your career? Or can you put your finger on a moment that just was that aha, that accelerant for your career?
Well, there's two moments that come to mind, Andy. One of them, the necessity. You know, when I hit rock bottom, and failed, I had three young kids counting on me. And I thought, boy, you've got them counting on you. You owe it to them to figure this out. And I didn't know where to go. I had no idea what to imagine. I had a desire to get better. And I didn't know I had like anxiety. I just was stressed all the time. And, all these things that I was dealing with, I thought they were normal. I had conflict and chaos in my life. So I said, you've got to straighten this out. you've got these three young people counting on you to get better. And then the accelerant to be a coach, it was really when I figured out what the mind was. Finally, one day I had all these programs open and all these books I was reading, and I was really, you know, I was doing well and I was figuring some stuff out. But then I woke up one morning and I said, I know what the subconscious is now. I know what the mind is now. And I was reading books on reprogramming and rewiring and all this stuff that's even tired. But I thought, this is what the mind is. This is how the mind works. And you need to teach this. It was that aha moment. And I literally remember the day I closed all the programs I had. And I stopped reading all the books because I had it. And I developed this program that now I've been teaching for many years, along with my team, to folks that come into our community.
Well, thank you for that, Coach. It is amazing what an incentive the young children are when you realize that you have that responsibility. I went through something very, very similar early in my life where, wow, this is a real, real driver. Mike, on your website, there's a lot of space that's dedicated to reducing anxiety in students and executives, as you've talked about. Can you help us understand from your perspective what the primary drivers or root causes are behind what, at least from my perspective, looks like an epidemic of anxiety that's gripping society?
Yeah, it is tragic. It really is. And that's our mission. Our mission is to reach as many people, young or seasoned professionals and executives, who are dealing with it. But if you think about the human experience, Andy, this world conditions us to be anxious and stressed. And now you add cell phones, where we're never disconnected, social media, we're always comparing ourselves to the beautiful people out there that have these great lives, at least they're posting about, right? And or even think about school. What happens as soon as we get old enough in school, they start grading us. And they start saying, you're an A student, you're a B student. I was always a solid C student and felt bad about that, because what do? We compare ourselves to the A students, to the B students. Or how about having a parent at home says, you better get a good grade on that report card. Wait till I see your report card type stuff. And now the kid who's trying to get through school, and some kids memorize things better than others, and they're freaked out and stressed over the test that might be coming up. Or let's say you get into a relationship and as an adult, and you've got stressors there, or you're trying to feed your family, buy a house, live the dream, if you will. And with that becomes pressure, or comes pressure to perform, or fear of failure. And all that stuff stems back to childhood, but we continue to redo it in our adulthood. Well, the mind is a supercomputer. That's really what it is. The subconscious mind is a hard drive that does not have an opinion. It doesn't have judgment. It doesn't have bias. It'll take what you give it, and it'll give it back to you. So it learns from what you give it. So every experience you had, let's say traumatic childhood, parents got divorced, mom was stressed, dad was a yeller. Anything you do that you keep ingesting mentally and emotionally through your experiences and your rumination of those experiences, your mind learns from it. Then it becomes it. That's why people have issues with anxiety and stress, or maybe they have insecurity, inadequacy, fear of public speaking, or fear of flying, or fear of tests. Some young people, even adults, they hear the word test and the mind goes to fear. That's because the mind's been trained that way. And if you look at this world, most things that our mind are trained, that our mind learns, are not happy, pleasant things. It's fear, it's pressure, it's inadequacy, it's don't screw up. You know, think about all the lessons we were taught as a kid. Life's tough and then you die. And it's not normal to feel happy. In fact, many of my clients say when they start feeling happy and content and the anxiety goes away, that's a foreign feeling for them. And it's only because that's what their mind has been trained to do. Whatever you give your mind, it's going to give it back to you. So think about, you know, the people that spend all that time, Andy, in their stories, in their struggles, talking about their problems. They're literally saying to the mind, please give me more of this. Now, the mind is your employee. It doesn't have an opinion. It'll give you what you give it. And that's why people that have issues or have, you know, chaos in their life or problems, and I was the poster child of that, you keep talking about your problems, the mind will give you more of your problems. So, and that's essentially how we get, why it's out of control. So when folks come to us, we first of all have to teach them what the mind is and then how to bring the mind back to peak efficiency. And we do that by retraining the mind to operate in contentment, peace, focus, clarity. But also we want to get rid of the viruses that have been around from every experience they had and everything. And one other variable that we'll add into that to your original question is think about all the labels we're given. So when this young kid who's afraid to bring a bad report card home, or maybe mom and dad are fighting at home, or there's a lot of pressure, or even if mom's anxious and that kid goes to school and they start bouncing off the walls with anxiety and they can't focus and they can't because the mind is running this program of anxiety or fear or stress. What are the doctors doing? Here, you have ADHD. Take this drug or do this, or here's Adderall, or here's whatever, to try to prop them up and get them through the day. And instead of just going back to the mind and getting rid of that virus and literally bringing the mind back to peak efficiency. So hopefully I answered your question there.
Yeah, great job. And I think that's a good segue into where I wanted to go next, which is my dear wife, Linda, is a horse girl, and she listens to a podcast out of Australia called The Confident Rider with a gal named Jane Pike. Well, I listen in on these shows, and Jane and many other people talk frequently about the, and this is the only time I'm going to swear, I promise, they talk frequently about the itty bitty shitty committee that takes up residence in our mind and derails us whenever possible. What's the most important piece of advice that you can give our listeners today to quiet that negative self-talk?
Yeah, that's a great question, Andy. And it's very common. I liked what they call it there. Because think about the mind again, when this computer's downloading all this content from our life, and you and I could tell you were born here in the United States, as was I, but imagine if you and I as babies were taken over to England. Our mind, we would speak with a British accent. We wouldn't go to learn a British accent. That would be normal for us. So look at the mind as just absorbing content all the time to become what it is. Well, it creates the state of being that we move around in every day. Now, our state of being, the internal energetic state that we're in, is always going to send thoughts that mirror that state, emotions that mirror that state, and even action. So I've worked with a lot of equestrians and athletes and helping them become more confident riders. And the thing that we want to do, of course, their skill set, your training is very, very important if you want to be the best at anything. But getting that mind into a state of being that we would call the flow state, the zone, what I call acceptance, which is peace. So if the mind's not there, that means you're in a state of being of maybe uncertainty or fear or lack of confidence. And the state of being that you're currently in at all times is going to send you thoughts to mirror that. So if somebody's afraid, let's say to perform on a horse or in a show, then the mind is going to keep sending them visual thoughts, imagery, because the mind thinks in pictures, and the mind's going to keep sending them thoughts that mirror their current state. So it might be fear, and they might start catastrophizing, or the what if, or what if I fail, and they get all worked up prior to this ride where, okay, we can do things to distract ourselves or try to get through that, but the better approach is let's go into the computer, let's get you into a state of being a flow in the zone, and then the ride will go effortlessly. And that's the key. So to get in that state, that's what great athletes, you know, Tom Brady, great example in football. It's like, you know, he was a terrible runner at the combine. He was slow. He was drafted in the fourth, fifth round, but he was always in a state of being of confidence throughout his career, and his performance showed. Michael Jordan in basketball, any of the greats, you think Tiger Woods in golf, they knew how to flip that switch and get into that zone, and that's the key. So we do that by going internally, not distracting ourselves externally, because the thoughts are all a byproduct of our current state of being.
Yeah. Thank you for really bringing the word peace into the foreground. I personally believe that that peace is a really an underrated skill that we can adopt and use. So thank you for that. Hey, before we cut to commercial break, it wouldn't be the Balancing Act podcast without briefly discussing a balancing act. What's the most important balancing act that you have to play in your role as an executive coach?
You know, there's a few. You know, my clients have access to me and my team repeatedly because when they come into the program, they are high stressed, anxious, sometimes panic attacks, you know, catastrophizing, fear. So we've got to be a support mechanism for them. So they have a way to contact me on an app we use if they're in dire straits. But it's always remembering, okay, stay present, whether it's with family, whether it's with an activity that you're doing, and not to get consumed with work, because we can throw ourselves into any aspect. So I'm very serious about the work we do here and growing our presence in our company, but also very serious about enjoying my family, enjoying the life I build. So the balancing act is to always stay present and to do the work that I teach, because I'd last about a week in the space that I'm in if I wasn't living, practicing what I preach. And my clients tell me two things. They say, Coach, you experienced that hell. You know where we're coming from. And number two, you're a walking example of this work. And they would see right through me if I didn't. So I have to always make sure that I'm balanced and I'm taking care of myself as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It is so easy to get drawn into and become the stories of others. So, and that trains the computer you're talking about. So we'll take a really short commercial break and we'll be right back with Coach Mike. Has trust broken down in your organization? Learn how smooth workflows enable accountability and unlock trust to create long-term business success. Learn more in my new book, The Balanced Business, available today at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold. We are back with Coach Mike Basavik. I got it right, I think.
Nice. You got it right, Andy.
Before the show, we talked about my struggles with the pronunciation of the last name that comes from my music background. I want to put a bass in there, but
yeah, it's fine. I have friends for 20 years that mispronounce.
Just don't call me late for dinner, right?
That's right.
Well, we're talking about the value of coaching in a business setting, and I like to run thought experiments on the show. Suppose you have a senior leader or mid-level manager sitting right in front of you right now who is wondering whether an executive coaching engagement is the right move for them. What advice do you have for this individual to help them make the choice to engage or not? How would you advise them to pick the right coach for their specific needs?
Well, the first thing I would ask them is what's not working in their life and what they're not accomplishing. If there's something not working with stress or because of internal discontent, right? Emotional discontent, or the mind's a war zone, so inability to stay focused, or maybe the brain fog and things that are shutting them down. What's not working in your life and what goals are you not achieving? So we've got many areas in our life, right? Career. Finances, we've got our team that we might be managing or the company that we own and the goals we have there. And then we've got our personal life with relationships and maybe parenting or partnering or whatever. So I want to know exactly what's going on in their life and what's not happening. What are they leaving on the table every month too? Plus the impact they have, they want to have and their purpose. Are they aligned with their purpose? Are they having the impact? Are they leaving a legacy that they want to leave? So I want to determine all those things first. And then determine the issues of why all that's happening. And then if it's a good fit for us, we'll talk about it. If it's not, I always steer people in the right direction. But we want to make sure that there's something very important for every executive that comes my way or successful professional. We've got to make sure that the inner world is mirrored and married to the external result. So somebody who wants a goal in their life that doesn't believe it's possible or in an energetic state of being of doubt or uncertainty or fear, they're never going to achieve that goal. It's never going to happen. Or if they achieve something like that, like let's say the person in relationships wants a great relationship, but they feel they're not worthy of a great relationship, they're never going to experience it long term. They might get it only to be disappointed again. So I want to find out all the motivators, all the reasons why somebody's not experiencing what they're experiencing, and then make sure that they understand you've got to marry that inner world, the mind, with the outer world, the result, and then you'll move towards that rather easily.
That's fantastic. With my, I'm teaching a college level class in management right now, and I'm just having so much fun. But what I routinely remind my students of is, if you don't love what's going on in here, there is absolutely no way that you can show up as your best self to what's going on out there. Yeah. Self-love,
so true.
Self-appreciation, that's got to come first. Mike, let's continue our thought experiment. You have that same individual that you were advising, things are going along. How do they know when the engagement's run its course? When is it time to fly solo?
I tell them never. They can never live without me. No, but it all varies. Yeah. You know, there's so many clients. We have, you know, for our particular community, we have our 8-week program, which is really 3 months. We bring people, we call it the 8-week program because they're emotionally healthy within 6 to 8 weeks. But then people want more. They've got bigger goals. They want to have more impact, more purpose, more enjoyment. So we determine if they need more, but there's so many times where I'll tell somebody, listen, you're good. You're dialed in. You're doing the work, you know, the work we call. We give people a morning formula and a daily regimen that we put them on as they go through their day. And if they've mastered that and they're getting the results, that's the best indicator. How does your life look? How does your business look? How does your team look? How do the results look? How do you feel about them every day? How you're sleeping at night? How your relationships? How, what kind of parent are you? And everything, if everything is humming on all cylinders and everything's working in their life and they're really understanding of what the mind is and how the mind works, then I know that, okay, you're in good shape. But if there's still more to accomplish, if there's still some resistance there, as we call it, or something not working, then we're going to continue to get it right.
That's until great. We get it right. Really focusing on a business setting here and managers generally, as a leader and former CEO, I believe that one of the primary responsibilities of all managers is to equitably coach their people. It's part of the job. But many managers say, I don't have time for that. We just need to get stuff done. If you had a leader or mid-level manager, again, sitting in front of you right now, who has deprioritized this key responsibility of coaching, how do you help them see the value of weaving coaching into their operational cadence?
I think probably partially because I'm a coach, but I think coaching makes all the difference in anything. Look at the best CEOs on the planet, the most successful CEOs, the most successful athletes, they all have coaches. They all have coaches. And coaches have a perspective that, you know, we get emotional about our stuff. So if we've got a problem, if you have a problem in your life or I have a problem in my life, we would tend to get more emotional about that. So we don't have the clearest eyes on it. And so coaching, in my opinion, is absolutely crucial. Well, same thing for your team. Coaching gives them certainty. It gives them clarity. It gives them support. Because when the leader's not around, what do the masses do a lot of times? They start getting involved with fear-based conversations about, I wonder what the plans are. I wonder what the plans are for me. And that fear starts to drive the behavior. When a manager, a leader takes time to properly coach their team, then all of those things start they know that they're valued. They know that they're being led and that the leader is there showing them, then they're that much more productive because they have clear, like, this is what we need to do. And this is what we need to accomplish. And we're part of something that's bigger than us. So I strongly believe in coaching at every level. And I think that great leaders, they know how to coach, develop. And then the more that they're coaching and developing their team, then they're going to be capable of so much more. And which is literally going to lead, you know, the leader is going to be able to take stuff off their plate because their team is that much more capable.
Yeah, the water cooler at the office can be a great place to meet other people and catch up, but it can also be a driver of the FUD, the fear, uncertainty, and doubt. So as a manager, take your responsibility to coach, communicate, and keep your people healthy in the workplace very seriously.
No question.
Thanks for that, Mike.
Yes.
A little fun to close out the show. Two lightning round questions for you. Number one, I give you access to a time machine. You can send a short message to an earlier version of Coach Mike. What's the message and what previous version of yourself do you choose to send it to?
Ooh, great question. I would go back to my 18-year-old self and I'd say life is an inside job. And master the mind and you'll master your life. And I spent the first 3+ decades of my life living external, trying to find happiness, trying to get the thing, and it never worked. I would teach them that life is an inside job. Master the mind, you'll master
your life. Excellent message. Mike, we're all works in progress. What are you focused on right now other than maintaining your commitment to the program that you teach? What are you focused on right now in your personal journey of growth as a leader?
I appreciate that question a lot. We never get it done. And if someone would have shown me back in 2005-06 that this is your life right now, I said, sign me up. And I've got a wonderful life and beautiful family, and I get to help people every day. But I'm not even near close to feeling it's done. I've got so many more things that I want to accomplish with reaching more people with our message, because it's such an important message, not because it's what I do. It's because, to your point earlier, Andy, so many people are out there suffering, and I don't want to see anyone who suffers. So our team, our mission is to get our message out to as many people as possible of all ages. And then also, you know, personally, just to keep growing. I set this many, many years ago. I want to be a better person next year at this time than I am this year. And that's my goal every year. Personally, I'm literally eating healthy right now. I'm going to drop about 20 pounds and doing things. I'm an avid golfer, so work on my golf game. And there's a lot of things that I'm working on. I never get it done. And I'm always setting new goals and new outcomes for myself. But really, it is most important thing for us is to impact as many people as we can. And we refine our program all the time. We add things to it to make it better. And it's always work in progress. And that's what makes life. That's what makes it enjoyable, because you never get it done.
Well, thank you for stressing the continuous improvement aspect of what forms a foundation for any lifelong learner. And as I age, I'm 60, and you know, certainly not end of career, but I see a lot of people who they're starting to check out and they're starting to say, I've got enough. Mm-hmm. I know enough. I'm just going to sit on the couch. And mm-hmm. thank you for that message of lifelong learning and continuous improvement, because in that mindset, I want to be a better person a year from now than I am today, incrementally. Please, 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 more folks, hold on to that and make that your mantra.
Amen. Yeah, and no question. And when life shuts us down, emotionally, mentally, we start to sit on the couch more. We start to pull back. We start to isolate. That's that internal resistance. That's all the stuff that we get rid of. So people can go back to living their best life.
So Coach Mike, what's next and where can folks learn more about you and your programs?
Well, next is constant reaching out to people that need our help or having people find us. So they can find us at our website, which is nolimitsnation.com. No limits with an S, nation.com. We've got a workshop coming up. We have always workshops. So just check the website. I'm not sure. I think the next one's going to be early May for your viewers, but there'll always be information on the website for free workshops we do, trainings. You can always schedule a call with our team. There's a bunch of videos on our website. They can find us and reach out to our team. And if you're not living the life that you want to live and you want our help, just reach out and we'll get you there.
Well, Mike, thank you so much. This was an enlightening conversation. I'm really happy that we're introducing our listeners to you today. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, Andy. I really enjoyed it. Anytime.
All right, very good. Well, my name is Andy Tempty. This is the Balancing Act podcast. You can find us on all the major streaming services. Please like, subscribe, rate, and most importantly, share this public good, especially today's highly impactful episode with your friends. This episode was produced by Nicholas Tempty, and we'll see you next time on the Balancing Act.